Welcome to the Spa Girls podcast, the self-publishing podcast for authors. You're in the right place for the best writing, marketing, and publishing advice, plus interviews with industry experts and best-selling authors. I'm Cheryl Phipps.
I'm Shah Barrett.
I'm Wendy Vella.
And I'm Trudy Jay. Hello. And this week we have the ever delightful Kate Hall talking
hey,
with
Kate.
Us. Yay. Welcome, Kate.
Hi.
Welcome, Kate.
Hi. I'm so happy to be here.
Very exciting.
We are happy to have you.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm going to read out Kate's bio, and then we're going to get right into the topic of, well, TikTok, but also just general video marketing, like just for all the different social
short
media
form
platforms.
Video.
Yeah, short form video. That's the official terminology. Alrighty. So Kate Hall is a paranormal romance and nonfiction author who's taken her marketing expertise and used it to kick butt on TikTok and other platforms. She started Align Digital Solutions in an effort to help authors make a sustainable income from their books. And since starting, she has scaled two of her businesses and several others to six-figure incomes. Today, she's going to talk about TikTok, marketing for authors, and why you're probably using the wrong hooks in your social media. Dun, dun, dun.
Absolutely.
Don't worry, I'll only get a little bit mad at everyone.
we'll need it.
We're used to it. I'm excited now. You just made me really excited about this interview, which is hilarious. Okay. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into self-publishing and writing for a start.
So as you said, I am Kate. Part of the reason that I got into self-publishing and then got really into marketing afterwards is because I am just an absolute shameless horse girl, and horses are really, really expensive. And they also take up a absolute huge amount of time. So I was like, I need a job where I don't have to work a lot and that I can pay for my horses, and somehow ended up with becoming an author. And my first series was really, really super successful, to my absolute surprise. And then I realized afterwards, I was like, oh, I had just written a perfect series. I have no idea what I'm doing. So then I got really into marketing and fell down like a really dark place, got like really struggled for about a year. And one of my friends was like, hey, I know you're struggling. Could I pay you to help me just post on TikTok now and then? And that was just like the spark I needed. This was Luna Pierce. She writes dark romance books. And I love her to death. She's my best friend in the world. And so I started running hers, and I just like was like, I'm going to be the best damn TikTok expert that anybody's ever met in their entire life. And I'm going to learn all of it this whole month. So I did. I learned so much and continued learning. I'm always researching new things about TikTok, about short form video, because only a few months after I started, the US had their first try at banning TikTok in 2023. And I was like, we got to find a solution to this. And we've got to find ways to diversify, because so many authors base their entire income off of TikTok, or so many authors are trying to start. And so I wanted to make sure that we're getting the best information possible that helps the most authors that we can.
Mm. That's yeah, awesome. Your name's everywhere. I tell you, it's great.
I've very heard good that. At it. That really shocks me. I make this everybody's problem because, I have to tell you this like really super quick story. I was flying to 20 Books Vegas at the end of 2023, and I had just finally sat down on the plane. My child was throwing a huge fit in his car seat on the plane. My husband was exhausted. I was exhausted. Because if you've ever flown with a child, you know, it's a horror show.
Yeah.
So I had just sat down, and then from the aisle, I hear, excuse me. And I turn, and the girl goes, are you Kate Hall, the TikTok girl? And I was like,
oh, wow.
Yes. I'm famous. I was recognized. So I make that everybody's problem.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
It still surprises me when I try to. Yeah, I always get surprised when I try to introduce myself and people are like, yeah, I've heard your name.
Absolutely.
That's cool.
That's absolutely awesome. That's awesome. So cool.
So I love the fact that you started out doing the TikTok for someone else. And I wonder, do you think it's easier to start doing it for someone else? So you've got a bit more distance between you and the, I don't know.
Product.
Yeah, product? Absolutely. So she already had hooks written, which was in 2022 is whenever I started with her, and they were fairly steamy. So I had started doing hers, and then the whole TikTok ban thing happened right as I had taken on some more clients. And then I had to drop a bunch of clients, pissed a lot of people off. Am I allowed to say bad words in here?
Yeah, you're removing. Yeah, don't worry about it.
if you were Americans, I would be much more concerned. But,
yeah, no, don't worry. I constantly do.
I pissed a bunch of people off because I just couldn't handle what all was going on, plus dealing with clients and everything. And then I kind of, so I started with her, and like it was about 10 days after I'd started with my first client with Luna Pierce that I was like, you know what, I'm going to try this for myself. And in like the last 2 weeks of December 2020, I made $1,500 US. And then in January, this was after making less than $400 a month for all of 2022, by the way. Because then in January, I made $3,500 US. And so I was able to see. January 2023, I made
$3,500.
So it was end of 2022, beginning of 2023 that I had kind of just started my business. And then I stopped using PayPal because they were like, hey, you're getting paid for doing client work. This is suspicious. And I was like, I started up my website and everything. And that's when the business really started to take off a lot faster than I was prepared for.
You must have done a lot of research, right? To get to the point.
I am constantly learning new things, new strategies on short form video marketing. New things that are working this week that weren't working last week. So like in my course that I have that's about TikTok, I tell people, I'm like, you have to join the group and Discord because I literally can't keep up and make new videos every time something slightly changes on TikTok. Yeah. I can't make a new video for this is what works this week because it didn't work last week, but now it does. Mm-hmm. And then the next week, hey, that new thing, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So yeah, it's a constant learning process.
Okay, that's a good tip. So anyone getting the course, go to the Discord server.
Yes.
So what's the first thing that you, like when, if someone's newbie and they're coming into TikTok or even just short form video, let's make it wider. What's the first thing they need to know? Like what do they need to be thinking about?
So it depends on their level of experience. So I say this thing a lot, and it's, I don't know what you don't know. So if you're very inexperienced with social media, then I say, it doesn't matter if you spell TikTok wrong in the app store, it'll pull up the right app. But the first thing whenever it comes to the actual marketing aspect is to write a really damn good hook. And we're not writing blurbs because we want to write something that emotionally connects readers to our characters very quickly. So we put a scene from the book as our marketing strategy on short form video, because that's what gets people emotionally invested in our characters. And that's the most important thing. I very, very occasionally do like these webinars with a few select people. I'm gonna knock my plant over. And I like spend most of it, it's like a 4-week program. And I spend most of it being like, hey, let's fix your hooks. Let's fix your hooks. Let's fix your hooks. Because the hooks are the most important thing. It doesn't matter if you're on TikTok. It doesn't matter if you're running a Facebook ad. Your hook, your script, as it were, is your most important thing, no matter what. If you have a bad script, you're not going to get people to go buy your book.
I think it's hard to see that hook yourself sometimes, you know. It's almost good to get someone else to read to find them, do you think?
I think it can be. I've had a lot of people tell me that they really struggle with them even after I released TikTok for Authors in September, and then everybody found out it exists. So I have a big section in there on hooks, but I ended up creating like a formula for finding and creating hooks and creating a separate course out of that because people were still struggling. And I was like, We need to be able to write really good hooks, and we need authors to be able to find them or to, you know, say, hey, here, PA, go find them. And here's the formula on how to find them and how to write them. Because I've had so many clients that, you know, they originally asked me to post their TikToks, and I said, well, I don't do that anymore. And they were like, well, can you write my hooks? Because you wrote hooks for this other author and I need good hooks, and I paid someone else to write hooks and they were terrible. And I was like, sure, I will do hooks for, you know, X price, which is not even a thing I offer anymore because it's so exhausting. But then these clients will come back and be like, I tried to get somebody else to write more hooks after reading the ones you wrote, and they still just couldn't figure it out. So I really need you to do more hooks for me. And I was like, oh, I love you so much, client, but I don't want to. Writing good hooks is so important.
It's big. Yeah. Because I think when I think in terms of the scenes that you're talking about, like there's always, it's almost like the buttery scenes that Theodora Taylor talks about as well, that you find.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I always, and when you're writing your book yourself, you don't always understand the scene that's kind of really, or maybe you do, I don't know, I don't, and you can never figure out which is the scene that's
the most emotive scene.
Yeah, the most emotive scene, and it's not always the one that you think it's going to be. Like, that's one of the things you talk about, is it's like, it's maybe about getting someone angry or something, like there's not always the, it's not always the happy moment or the sex scene or the thing that, so how do you decide which moment is going to be the one that's going to draw the most people in?
So I have three emotions that I like to get appeal, that I like to appeal to. And those are anger, sadness, and confusion. But my favorites are anger and confusion. I don't know if you've seen the show The Good Place, but much like Michael said, you humans have so many emotions when you only need two: anger and confusion. And I think that that's a really good tip for marketing on social media. If I can make people really angry on behalf of my main character, or if I can get them really confused about the situation to where they're asking questions and where they want to know what happens next, then I've hooked them. I've made somebody money, even if it's not me. Because guess what? I am so busy with this whole TikTok business that I rarely take my own advice. And so I barely have. My hooks are not good enough.
That's quite fascinating. It's kind of like the opposite of what you would expect, like anger. Like when I first heard you say that, I was like, surely not. But actually it works, right? Like
I had, yes. So one example is everybody in every comments thing is like, I can't handle cheating in a book. I don't want cheating. Cheating is terrible. But the absolute most money that I ever made a client was whenever, this was way back when I was posting TikToks for people. Well, she had a hook that was, she had provided, and it was a woman walked into a grocery store and saw her husband with another woman. Well, and she had known that he's been cheating on her repeatedly throughout the years. And then it's, she confronts him whenever he gets home and is like, I'm finally leaving. I don't deserve this. And he begs her to stay and says he can't live without her. And people are like, this book better not be about those two getting back in love. It's a cheating redemption book too. So it pissed people off. Yeah. So it fills people with absolute rage to know that that exists. And it made her a lot of money.
So if you didn't write a cheating redemption book, but you're looking for something that has anger in your romance,
there's plenty of examples. There's plenty of things that you can do. So there's a few common ways that we can make readers feel angry for our main character. Because one mistake I see a lot of people do is they'll get a scene where the character is very angry, or the character is very sad, or the character is very confused. But that's not what I'm going for. I'm going for confusing our readers or angering our readers. So a scene where the character is crying because, you know, he's finally getting his girl back and he's crying in front of her and he's on his knees, but she's already said, fine, I forgive you. That's not a good scene. She's forgiven him. She knows. But the scene where she's just like absolutely cold-blooded, and whenever she drives by and sees him with a woman that she doesn't know in his house, because miscommunication, whatever, that scene where she's not necessarily feeling angry and ragey and screaming and crying, it's a very enraging scene because we want justice for her. Yeah. Or a scene, it doesn't even have to be, I use a lot of examples from romance because I write romance, but it doesn't have to be romance based. Or even if it is a romance based book, it doesn't have to be a romantic scene. I have one author that I worked with in one of my workshops that I do, and one of her scenes that did really well, it started like the very first slide of it was, "Why can't my mother love me?" And it was her mom had abused her whole life. She's a teenager and she's excited because she's going to go spend the weekend with her boyfriend and get out of her mom's house for a few days. And her mom drugs her and like locks her up in the house so that she can't leave. And people are filled with rage at the mom. And they're like, "Oh my God, please tell me this bitch gets what she deserves." Yeah.
I can feel so it myself, like, and I'm not even reading it.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of things that can evoke that anger. And there's, you know, the feeling of rejection of being wanted is really this core thing where a character feels rejected or thrown out. Those are the types of things that we want justice. We want our character to be okay after that. And that's the kind of thing I really like to dig down into.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. The differentiation you make between a character going through an emotion and what the reader is experiencing. Do you know what I mean? Like that's writing the books, we should be thinking, because just because you make a character cry on the page doesn't mean the reader is going to be feeling that with them if you haven't set it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So. And it's also really important to pick like relatable things because sure, this girl's going to be really angry that this warlord killed her entire village, but we can't conceptualize that if it's not something that we've gone through. Yeah. We can think about it and be like, yes, that is a bad guy. We can read it and be like, yes, he is a bad guy. He did a bad thing. But we can't relate to it, so it's harder for us to conceptualize. Versus the same book where she finds out that her best friend has been, you know, hooking up with her arranged fiance for years. In the same book where, yes, there's a warlord, but also she's supposed to get married off to this other guy and her best friend's been hooking up with him or something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm angry for her too.
Yeah, see, and that's just a made up scenario. That's just a made up scenario. That's just something I threw out there. Mm. I had one client that we were working on his hooks, and he was like, "Wait, that doesn't like going out and being ready for battle doesn't happen to you? I'm in England. It happens here every other week." It happens to everyone out here. Oh my gosh. I was like, "Well, you're trying to appeal to a US audience."
That's brilliant. Because that's an interesting thing. So, and we're talking about wider, like short form video marketing across the different platforms. So, do you think it works the same on, say, Facebook, or is it more like Insta Shorts where they're the same length as TikToks? Or
so I use a different format for TikTok than I use for Instagram, and I've been using Snapchat Spotlight this week. I've had several videos go viral. Excuse me. Except their algorithm really sucks. Which I'm happy to talk about, but I'm just mad about right now because their algorithm is terrible. I have one that's like almost at 100,000 views and it's made me like $5, which is garbage. Wow. You know, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube Shorts, I use a slightly different format. So I basically just shorten the hooks to the absolute meat of the situation. I do my beginning, which is usually a character archetype plus conflict. Character archetype, I always pull directly from Theodora Taylor's seven-figure fiction universal fantasy concepts. So I will do something, you know, very buttery, as she says. I will say, when her best friend's billionaire brother does something, when there's conflict. Because we could say, when her best friend's billionaire brother sees her at dinner, but there's no conflict there, even though we have that juicy archetype. So I'll do when her best friend's billionaire brother watches her getting dunked at dinner on her birthday. There's a lot of conflict there. And so usually on like TikTok, when I use that slideshow format, I'll make these longer scenes. I do 20 to 30 slides on there because longer content does better on TikTok. It's more likely to go viral. TikTok prefers it because it's a lot easier for them to run ads. But I find... Sorry, I have to breathe. I talk really fast and then I can stop breathing.
That's okay. Yeah.
So on like Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat, and YouTube, they tend to prefer videos that people watch 100% of. So I like to do something a bit shorter there. And so I will get, I actually have an example, and I, this is a podcast, so nobody's going to see it but you all. But I will hold the book so that the pages are facing the camera and my face isn't in it. It's like on a nice background or a bookshelf or something. And then I will turn it. This is like a 14-second video that I record. I just have one for each of my books, and then I reuse that same video, just basically showing the pages and then revealing the cover. And then I'll put that first hook, that initial really grabby, juicy, buttery thing with my archetype plus conflict. That'll be the first slide where you're just seeing the pages. And then the second slide is going to be that, oh my God, holy shit, what happens next moment. So, you know, that for that.
Is that okay. Snapchat? So Snapchat, you just have a couple of slides and then.
Yeah. So that's for, that's what I do for Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Okay. I do that for all of them, which I don't actually post my reels directly on Facebook, because when I post them on Instagram, it automatically will show them on Facebook because they're owned by the same company. Yeah. So, and my pages are connected, so it'll just automatically show it on Facebook whenever people are scrolling reels.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried to click to read comments on one that turns out to be an Instagram reel, but then it opens the Instagram app. But yeah, so that's what I do for mine.
Yeah.
So I do that. And then like that example of when her best friend's billionaire brother sees her getting dumped on her birthday. And then the very next slide would be, he puts his arm around her and looks at her now ex-boyfriend. You don't get to talk to my girl that way. Like in quotes with him saying that. Because obviously by best friend's brother, they're not together yet. We would mention if he were her billionaire fake boyfriend. But he's not until after that date happens. It is a fake dating book. It's really lovely. Nadia Lee is a fantastic author. So, but yeah, so that's how I would do that hook versus doing a much longer version of the scene for like TikTok or something.
Yeah. But it's still very much about the conflict and the like, even just that short snippet, you feel the anger for the, on behalf of the character, right? Like you're kind of like, who is he dumping her? You know what I mean? Like there's that still. So the,
in TikTok, are you mainly doing stills in TikTok, like slides in Canva?
Yeah. So
rather than videos.
Yeah, so TikTok has a slideshow photo function that works really, really well. Instagram does not show photos to a organic audience anymore. They only show reels to a new audience. So if you want to grow on Instagram, you have to do reels and they have to be videos. But TikTok has that slideshow photo function. And there's a really specific audience for it on BookTok, where if you get the aesthetic right, and have like that nice aesthetic background. No people in the backgrounds, because TikTok is gonna think that it's people doing the nasty, even if it's like a guy sitting in a chair fully dressed. They're gonna be like, he's doing something there. he's doing something dirty. We know what hands are for. We know what men in suits get up to.
Yeah. We've learned. We've read those romances.
So I never have people in the background, get the aesthetic right, and use the photo slideshows. And I just use the same photo for each slide so that people can scroll through. The background is not distracting. And they just read through at their own pace. So it's not too slow for some people, it's not too fast for others. And that's worked really, really well across a massive, massive range of clients for me. I've had over 1,000 people start using this method since I started talking about it. It's wild.
And it's still working. Still, people are still getting good results from it.
And sometimes people message and they'll message me or email me and they'll be like, oh my God, I'm not getting any views. I was getting great views last week and now this week I'm not. But it's always like 5 people at once. And I'm like, TikTok reset their algorithm. That's why. Because it's always the exact same time, multiple people, I'm struggling. And I'm like, yep, they rebooted. It's going to be down for, views are going to be down for a day or two.
And then they just go.
Which is another reason I like to tell people to diversify.
Okay. Do you, with the accounts, if you've had an old account and you've sort of just used it for different things, you know, posting different stuff. Do you recommend, if you're going to start, you know, to really push TikTok, do you reckon two accounts going and starting another one fresh with a new look and stuff, or can you clean up an old account?
I actually prefer cleaning up old accounts because TikTok sees them to be a lot less spammy. They're a lot less likely to think that it's a bot account if it's an old account that's been around for a while. So if you can clean up an old account, I absolutely recommend it, but also don't be afraid to start a new account if one isn't serving you. Because once you have built up a a good number of accounts, then if one stops working, just log out of it for a month or two, log into a different one, keep on posting, keep on rolling. I find that that method works really, really well for me, because if an account for, say, a week is consistently getting under 1,000 views on all the videos, then I'm going to just log out of that account. I have a spreadsheet with all of my login information for all of my accounts, because I have 11 accounts now. But then I can let that account rest for a few months. And then when I log back in, TikTok is like, oh my God, you haven't used our app in forever, but you're back now. We haven't seen you specifically. And I'm like, yes, you have. Like, they know, but they don't. It's weird.
Yeah.
So what do you call yourself on each account to differentiate?
I've got Paranormal Romance Book Obsession. I have a couple of my pen names have their own accounts, but as casual accounts. So I have pen names Natalie Berry and Alexis Pierce. So I have Allie Reads Romance and I have Nat Reads Romance. Accounts that I have. And I will say, I don't review books on those accounts. I just post the slides of the things that happen in the book, because I feel like posting and being like, Allie Reads Romance and Nat Reads Romance, we're both reviewing this book really high, I feel like that's disingenuous and scammy. But really all I'm doing is just trying to get eyes on what actually happens in the book, so that I can show people, hey, here is a thing that you might like, and here is why, and here is proof that you might like it. Because a big issue I've also seen a lot of people do is where they'll post and be like, OMG, here's how readers react whenever they read this book. And then it's like, oh, I loved it so much. It's like, tells me nothing. People like a lot of things. Yeah. You know, some people loved Twilight. Some people hated Twilight. I don't know if I'm going to love it just because somebody else does.
Do you post the same video? So do you post the same videos in every group you've got?
I do not. I create it so that it has new what's called metadata, which is the file's data of, here's when the file was created, here's when here's what app it was created on, here's the file type, here's the date and time it was downloaded. So I download it for new metadata, and I use a different image for the background every time I post it.
But the words stay the same.
Yes, but the words stay the same unless I'm trying to re-optimize, which I really desperately need to do. People email me the last couple of weeks that are like, hey, I want to see your accounts to prove that this method is working for you. And I'm like, listen, the method would work much better for me if I would do the damn method. I'm just so busy all the time. It's those freaking horses. I had a horse that was in the vet for 2 weeks, and I had to be there 6 hours a day for him. Wow. It was terrible.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a few of the other kind of practical stuff. Just we'll narrow down on TikTok, just because I know people are kind of still interested, even though there's all the dramas around it. And then maybe we can talk more general again. So for example, do you just use the because one of the questions is, how long should a TikTok run for? And that's if you're doing a video, say a face or, you know, or yourself on the video. But do you mostly do the slides? Are you mostly doing like the 15 to 20 slides?
So I mostly do the slides, but I will say overall, videos that last over a minute are going to be the most likely to go viral. You're going to see videos going viral that are short. You're going to see videos going viral that are, you know, 20 seconds, that are 30 seconds, but the most likely things that are going to go viral are going to be over 60 seconds. So for slideshows, that's going to be 25 to 35 slides, 35 is the absolute maximum, just so everybody knows. You can't go over 35 slides on TikTok. I experimented with that with Luna and with Shane Rose last spring. We were like, let's find out what the maximum is. That was just in like a little group chat we had. I wasn't, you know, doing work for either of them at that point, but it was very funny to experiment. But yeah, so 25 to 35 slides is going to be over a minute generally whenever people are scrolling through to read them. And then videos that are over a minute are going to be more likely to go viral on TikTok. But I found with not TikTok, with like Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, you're actually more likely to go viral if your video is around 15 seconds, like 12 to 15 seconds.
Okay.
But with TikTok, whenever you're doing where you're speaking to the camera, you have to be interesting for 60 seconds. And that includes the first 1 to 2 seconds. And I'm going to bring this up because I always bring it up. You don't want to do the millennial pause, as they have dubbed it, which is where you click record and then you go, "Hi, I'm Kate, and here's what I want to talk to you about." You have to cut out that "Hi." Like, you have to cut out that pause beforehand. And you should also never start with "Hi, I'm Kate," because nobody cares. You're going to start it out and immediately just be like, "Hey, did you hear about that billionaire who saw her getting dumped on her birthday? What would you do?" Yeah. Or like, one of my friends does face videos. They're almost always a minute long. And she always starts with, "This is for spicy TikTok. If you're not a spicy book reader, keep on scrolling." And she has like 300,000 followers or something on TikTok for her books. She might be one of the most followed authors on TikTok at this point. But that's how she always starts her videos. And that's because it gets people intrigued right off the bat in the first 3 seconds, but also it gets that SEO in there, which is your search engine optimization, which is your keywords. It gets those keywords in there of if you like spicy romance books. And she says spicy romance books twice in the first 5 seconds of the video.
Who was this? Sorry,
this is Luna Pierce. It's actually on her like personal account, which is Kate Writes Books. Fun fact: both of our real first names are Kate, and then both of our author last names are Pierce. And I've been telling her we need to write a book by Kate Pierce.
Absolutely.
I think it would be excellent.
That's cool.
So, we're both attending Readers Take Denver, and we created a shared spreadsheet. And I was like, "Ooh, I'll sort it by person." And so I, for mine, put Kate, and then for hers, put Kate.
Exactly. So that's intriguing to me. For some reason, and maybe I'm just being silly now, I didn't realize that TikTok were picking up on the words that were mentioned in the video. So that's actually counted as part of the metadata.
Yeah, they will pick up on every single thing. They pick up on the words you say out loud. They pick up on your captions. Even if you don't do your captions and your text on screen in app, their bots can read it.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's good to know.
That is good to know.
So you've got everything you say and do is actually SEO. Okay. Good to know.
So and actually, if you put your book cover in the video, then TikTok will generally flag it as an ad, which means that they'll prefer if you pay for it, which is why I never use book covers in my videos.
Good tip.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact.
Is music how do you know the right music to use?
What I do is I go to other slideshow accounts or ones that I've used in the past, like my own slideshows, and I will go to accounts that specifically create music to use on TikTok, and I will go and use their most recent created sounds, because for one, that tends to put me ahead of trends whenever new audios are going to be trending. So it makes it so that there's nobody already posting videos for that sound, or there's very few people posting videos for that sound, which means that those sounds don't have a lot of community guidelines violations. Because if a sound has a lot of violations in videos that use that sound, it can actually suppress views on your video. So that's why I don't use trendy sounds, because especially like BookTok trendy sounds, because if you do, then it might be something that has
had a bunch of smutty content posted. And so TikTok is going to automatically assume that you are posting spicy content that is inappropriate for people under the age of 18. And they might just automatically deny your post or just suppress views so that you're at zero for a day or two.
Okay. It's a minefield, isn't it?
Really? Sounds and use their newest ones.
It's a minefield trying to get all the, get it all right.
Yeah. Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because this is the other thing that you've seen is that, for example, TikTok is really cautious about the steamy, spicy content these days. And even like talking about the skin tone, like if they can see skin, they're considered, they think it's, I don't know, X-rated or whatever. Like that. So.
Yeah. TikTok. So the reason that this happened is, and I can talk about how much I hate the US government all day long, how terrible. So in 2023, at the very beginning of the year, a TikTok ban bill was going through Congress. And the excuse they were using was, but the children can see dirty content. In reality, what was actually happening and is still happening, you can check their donations. Because Congress people have to have their donations be public for their campaigns. So what was happening is Meta, who owns Facebook and Instagram, and Google, who owns YouTube, were both paying a massive number of Congress people to try to ban TikTok because cannot compete with their algorithm. So if you check donations on the Congress people that are voting for these, they're receiving donations in the tens of thousands, but then they're telling the American public, the reason we're voting for this is because they're peddling pornography to our children. And so TikTok in response was like, here, we're going to ban all spicy content. What the hell you got now? And then they were saying, hey, it's a national security issue. And TikTok was like, fine, we will move all US data to US servers. And to work at those servers, you have to have clearance that is more difficult to get through than working for the CIA. And now they're like, well, it's not an American company. And TikTok is like, yeah, fine, we're going to suppress your US views and see how your constituents feel about it, about losing their jobs.
Yeah, so it's a minefield, isn't it?
But yeah, so basically it's Congress was using spicy content as an excuse to ban the app. So TikTok cracked down really hard on it and they're continuing to crack down harder. If you haven't had an issue posting spicy content yet, you've been incredibly lucky. So back in February of last year, I started telling my clients, hey, we're not doing spicy content anymore. We're not like, don't send me spicy content for your stuff because I won't post it.
But you don't need the spicy stuff if you've got the emotional
Right? So like that's actually, why we do the anger and the confusion.
And actually, even in spicy books, it's the emotion that kind of makes them spicy. Do you know what I mean? Like even if it's a there's always something that you can talk about that's not actually specifically A into B.
A great example of that. This book, for people on the podcast, it's my book, Her Cries in Vain. All of the books are titled after metal songs because it's based off of a metal band. All of the guys are paranormal monsters in a band. That part doesn't matter. That book is 30% spice. I counted 30% of the book is spicy scenes. It's not enough to be considered erotica, but it's a lot. However, I don't use any spice in my marketing. The closest thing I use to spice in my marketing for that is a scene where it's the morning after they've hooked up and the night before she told him that she loved him like a lot of times because she was kind of losing her mind for, you know, reasons. But the scene itself that is the spiciest scene I ever post is like the first slide is, when you accidentally told your rock star boyfriend that you loved him during, I just do like S/X, or sometimes I'll use during a hookup or something. And then the rest of the scene is their conversation the morning after, but I leave off how he responds when she's like, hey, it doesn't matter what I said, you didn't say it back. And then I leave off his response. So people are like, okay, but what the hell does he say?
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those moments.
Creating that.
Yeah, it's that fear of rejection. We've all been terrified of being rejected from something or another. Whether it's, you know, in a relationship way or a friendship way or for a job or something, we've all had that fear. You know, as authors, that fear of, am I going to put this book out there and everyone's going to hate it? Always some fear of rejection.
It is.
Awesome. And I think that's the heart of what you're saying is basically everything you're putting up, anything you're doing on any of these platforms across the board, it's always about finding that hook, finding that really big emotion that's going to, or that thing that we can connect with, right? That's what I like what you said before about it making something that people really understand, not the warlord, whatever. It's the best friend's been doing the dirty with you, you know, whatever. You know, it's one of those things that we can people can understand and connect with that we're really after. So the other thing that I want to talk about, because is one of the, I've done your course or most of it. I'm still watching the last few videos. And I think it's most people. I don't think I'm alone with
a section in the course called Most Important Things to Remember. That's going to have the most important things to remember.
I'm going to go check now and make sure I watched that video. Yeah, just a hint. But anyway, but one of the things I love about what you talk about is the organization and the like, not just having great hooks, but putting all your hooks in the spreadsheet and how to do it via Canva so it's faster. So can you talk a little bit about that? Like, why create all of the hooks beforehand? Why shouldn't we just sit down and attempt to do it off on the fly?
Because it takes for fucking ever every single time. And if you post it in TikTok, then you have to go and retype it line by line from a previous TikTok, probably on a separate phone, like... Why the hell do we have to do that? Why? I'm just going to make it in Canva. Or if you do want to do it all in the app, if you create a spreadsheet, especially, fun tip, if you have a Mac and an iPhone and they have the same Apple ID login, you can click copy on your Mac and then paste on your iPhone.
Mind blown. Oh my God.
You can click copy from your Mac and then paste on your iPhone. No. So even if you're creating an app, like, it's so much faster to just have that file with your hooks. And it also makes it a lot easier to track and analyze which hooks are actually selling, and it makes it a lot easier to post consistently, because that's the most important thing besides having good hooks is posting consistently. Chances are you're not going to post your first TikTok and go viral, but if you post every single day for a month, chances are if you're posting good hooks every day for a month, chances are you're going to go viral. Because consistency is the name of the freaking game. And if you are having to write it in app every single day with these new posts, it's going to get exhausting. You're going to burn out. Why the hell would you want to spend all of your time typing all of this crap in when you could copy paste or even just click generate on a little spreadsheet and have it pull up all the images for you? You know, it's so much faster. You've got so much more time to work on your books or make new covers because you're avoiding working on your books, you know, whatever. I don't do that. In totally unrelated news, I made full series edition covers for all of my books and still haven't finished book 3 in this series.
Totally unrelated. You're just ahead of the game.
Yeah, we can all relate to that. Can I ask you about hashtags? You know, like, are they important?
In some ways, hashtags are important, but I don't think they're as important as people think they are. I have a hashtag guide that can help you, but I think that the most important thing to consider with that is using them to boost your SEO, to boost those keywords that you're using on your posts. And I never, ever use more than like 5. But I'm also working on scheduling, which you can only schedule videos if they already have audio on them, which would technically create a new audio. So if you're scheduling posts from a third-party app, like I use Loomly right now because it was the one that somebody recommended to me, and I'm too lazy to switch because it technically works.
What's it? I'm sorry, could you just spell that out?
It's called Loomly, Loomly. So you just have to have the audio already on there because you can't add audio to a scheduled post, but you can use that for Snapchat spotlights, for Instagram reels, for Facebook reels, for YouTube shorts, for TikToks. You just can't use it for like the slideshow posts on TikTok. So it would have to be a video. So I'm trying to schedule those so that I don't have to remember to click post every day, which seems like the simplest thing I could possibly do, because I just have to open the phone and then click post and then I'm done.
So you might not know the answer to this, but this is another question I have. So in New Zealand for a while, the advice to us was that our SIM cards would mean, and our phones would mean, that most of our content would just get sent to New Zealand. And we were told to kind of get American SIM cards and put that in our phones. Is that, and I know now other authors doing okay.
What I have seen that works if you're not inside the United States, because obviously I'm in the US right now. But what I have seen on a massive scale that's been working, because like I said, I have thousands of authors in this program, so I hear a lot of things, because I hear a lot of advice from people who are like, yes, I took the course, but here's a thing that works a little better for me. And I'm like, awesome. Thank you for sharing. I love when people share their tips and advice, because I want everyone to be rich all the time. Anyway, but what I hear for international authors is get a separate phone, get a US SIM card and a VPN, and do not turn off the VPN if you're using the phone, if your phone is connected to Wi-Fi, because if TikTok detects, like if the VPN turns off and then you turn, like open up TikTok on your Wi-Fi, then it'll be like, oh, you're in New Zealand? Okay, well, we're going to show that your phone is always in New Zealand, even with the US SIM, and it's just a whole thing. So make sure your VPN is always on. I actually, one of my Australian clients had that issue because her VPN, she didn't realize her VPN was off, and it screwed up that whole phone.
Okay. Well, that sucks. A whole phone in a US really SIM card is not an easy thing to do. So what about, have you got any, in your experience, anybody that is making it work, that is out, you know, that is posting from their non-US native country?
I've had a couple say that it's working okay for them, but usually it's still a lot less of a US audience. But basically, like, if it starts doing well in their country, then it will start to show a bit more to a US audience because the post is in English.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right.
But I think they still use a VPN.
Yeah.
But I think you can get a VPN for free. I don't know how to do it because I know that it is a thing you can do, but YouTube is a wonderful resource.
Yeah,
for,
absolutely. Very cool.
So in terms of the, so when you do the slides on TikTok, do you have much in the caption up the top then, or do you rely on them watching the slides to get the
content? What do you mean the caption up the top?
You know, like when do you, on a TikTok, do you not have text? You do have text.
Down the bottom.
Down the bottom, sorry.
Oh, like the bottom, the captions at the bottom. Yeah. So I just use the caption for my SEO. So I'll put something like, oh, when he says, with a little emoji. The emoji I use is the emoji I'm trying to evoke, like the emotion I'm trying to evoke in the scene, not necessarily what the characters are feeling. So it's how I want people to react. So I'll use like the gritting teeth or the blushing emoji or something if it's something embarrassing or confusing, just as an example. And then I will do, I'll put paranormal romance book Rex. And then I'll put my 5 or 6 hashtags.
And then do you post, like, so for example, there's YouTube shorts, which I haven't really looked at properly. So excuse me if I'm talking like, but I understand they're very similar to TikToks in that they're quite short. Can you just post the same content over there, or do you kind of need to?
You can post the same content, but if you're doing that, I would not download from something you've made in TikTok. I would create it all outside of the app and post something like Adobe Rush, or I don't know if iMovie does vertical video. CapCut, you have to pay a little bit extra to download it without a watermark, without posting on TikTok. But that is technically an option. So there's a few ways that you can create a video just on your phone, or you can do it on your computer with Canva or something. And then you can upload it to different sites that way. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't download it from TikTok and then cross post it to other platforms. So that's what I'm doing with Loomly. I'm going to be scheduling the exact same posts that I create on my computer or through Canva, and I'm going to be scheduling those across all social medias. You said that you've seen my face a couple of places lately. It's going to be freaking everywhere in April.
That's awesome. Can I ask you about, do you have a TikTok shop? Is that?
I don't know how, but people find it. So one thing that I find that works best with TikTok shop, just like a little tip, because I don't have a segment on TikTok shop in my course, is having like the aesthetic, what they call discreet covers. So we don't have a man with his titties out. I don't know why, but I always like to describe a shirtless man as a man with his titties out. I just think it's funny. I have a bunch of these object covers. So these are the only things I sell on my TikTok shop. I don't do the ones that have people on the covers. Yep. Because I find that the people covers just don't really work on TikTok shop.
Yeah. Or even on TikTok. I remember Anna Wang saying that she felt like it was because she did object covers that her books did so well on TikTok and other places. Specifically did them like that. So
yeah. Yeah, object covers are really popular right now.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to sell paperbacks, I recommend doing object covers because people are like, look at the aesthetic of my whole bookshelf. They're all objects and shiny. Yeah. That's how people talk in my brain. I don't know.
In your brain, yeah. It's funny how object covers have been so big, because I remember when we were first starting out, I remember saying to people, oh, no, you know, you need to have people because that evokes emotion. And now everyone's like, oh, no, object covers, the way forward. I just ask you, so you've got all these customers doing your course, you know, thousands of people have been taking it. So what are some of the most common mistakes that you see people making as they're either before they've started doing your course or as they're trying to make it work and figuring things out? What are some of the things people do that?
Okay, so there's two things I see, two really, really major things. The first one is ads. People are posting ads with their 25% off. Here's something fun about the book. Here's the cover. Here's, you know, it's in KU. It's a lot. It's a lot of visual information. And human beings have developed this really neat thing since the 20th century called ad blindness. You know how you're sick of seeing ads for everything? That applies to everyone. It's not just you. And oftentimes you'll get those notifications that's like, hey, have you seen an ad about the new Chevy 4Runner? I don't know. It doesn't matter. They'll be like, have you seen any ad about the new Chevy pickup truck? And I'm like, I haven't seen a truck, I don't think. I don't recall. And it turns out that it's shown me like 6 ads, but they look like ads. So my brain just skips right past them. So if it looks like an ad, people are going to skip past it. But also if it looks like an ad, TikTok is going to suppress the views.
So ads.
For both of those reasons, if it looks like an ad, then you're doing it wrong. We want that like dark, grungy Pinterest aesthetic. I'm not saying use images off of Pinterest. I'm just saying take a stock image, slap a black background behind it, and then make the image opacity like 50%, same exact vibe. So you've got that dark Pinterest aesthetic, throw some text up on it of the actual scene from the book, and that's a much better visual. It's a much more standard visual that people are going to look at and immediately say, oh, this is a scene from a book. And then the second biggest mistake that I see related to that and related to all of it is that people still post blurbs. Because whenever you're, you know, publishing your book, you hear a million times over, you have to write a good blurb. If your blurb is bad, people won't buy it. And so you hear this, and then your immediate thought on marketing, your very first thing that you try to do is you're like, I will write a good blurb. I'm going to tell people about the book. But this is a really good example of what everyone's English teacher has always told them. Show, don't tell. don't tell me that they have been in love forever and she rejected him and now she's back and he sees her across the room. Don't tell me all these things. Show me the scene. Show me her walking into the coffee shop and then freezing because the billionaire contract. I use billionaires a lot. I think it's just a fun trope. Because the
people love it.
Billionaire construction worker.
I don't know how he's a billionaire. I'm not sure if the construction worker is going to be the billionaire.
He needed a break.
He owns the company, but he's down to earth. He owns the company.
He likes to use his hands, man. Yeah. You know? Get on the toes.
That's what's hot about him, okay? Then you see the billionaire construction worker that you dumped on prom night. And then we put dialogue right after that first bit so that we've got him saying, what the hell are you doing back in town? You said you'd never come back. Yeah. And so then that's immediate conflict, immediate argument, and immediate knowledge of, oh, we're actually in a scene. We're in these characters' headspace.
Yeah.
The two biggest mistakes I see are ads. And then I also see blurbs, which are both things that just, they're not going to get us emotionally connected because I find that putting people directly into the character's headspace is going to pack a much larger emotional gut punch than telling them what's been going on.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Really good sense.
That's brilliant.
And just tells me I've been doing everything wrong. But now I'm going to do everything right.
I will add for that as well, whenever I say don't do a blurb, I also mean don't make the first half of your 30 slide slideshow a blurb and then go into the dialogue. If your first slide isn't dialogue, make your second slide dialogue so that we know we're in the scene. Because if it stops being a blurb halfway through because you've explained the rest of the book, then people have tuned out by now. We want them in there immediately so that we keep them invested. And if there is context needed for the scene, not for the book, we don't need to know that there's a paranormal war to know that this guy is an asshole, but he's now helping her when she's sick. We don't need to know about the paranormal war or the dragons. We just need to know that he's grumpy and he's helping her because she's seasick and she thinks he hates him, but he doesn't. That's what we need to know.
That's an interesting point, because whenever I do stuff like this, I always feel like, because I write urban fantasy, and I always feel like I need to make sure that people realize that there's magic or whatever. But you're kind of saying
when they open it on Amazon, they'll know.
Yeah.
I don't care if readers know what the genre is when they're reading the hook on TikTok, because they're going to know what the genre is when they open the book on Amazon or on whatever thing they like to use. Fun fact, you can still do all of this if your books are wide. You don't have to be in KU for this to work, but you will see when you start to see a boost in sales, it's going to be mostly in Amazon sales because people don't click bio links. Which is a very different thing on TikTok versus like the olden days of 2013 Instagram, you know, way, way back when.
But that's a question, actually. How do readers then click through? Is it a matter of them just remembering the book title and then they'll put it into Amazon? Or do you put the link somehow in a comment? How do you actually?
They don't click links anywhere. You just tell them what the title and pen and the author name is, and they will search for it. Which is, honestly, it feels very refreshing to me as somebody who started my marketing journey on Facebook, and people were like, if you don't put the link in six different places, people won't click it. They're not going to look for it. Versus TikTok and hitting that emotional investment, people are going to be like, I got to find this book no matter what it takes. And they'll even go to your old videos if you haven't posted what the book is called yet. They'll search your old videos to try to find that hook again, to try to find out what book it is about.
Wow.
It's awesome. So there's no way to get them to go straight to your store.
Right. There's not a direct link. So attribution links don't work. It's all about just keeping an eye on what books you're posting about. So what I like to do is I will test like a book that I'm not marketing anywhere else to see if like these hooks are working, if this account is working. I won't post about that book anywhere else except on TikTok while I'm in what I call testing mode. So then I will start to see those spikes in sales from different videos. And so like the one that's going viral on Snapchat right now, I'm seeing a huge spike of $5 a week. And it's not being posted anywhere else. So that's my only sales are going to be from the Snapchat that's viral.
I didn't even know Snapchat was still going.
So no.
There we go. Snapchat is what all of the kids are using these days. According to a teenager I had an awkward, weird conversation with because she was like, why are you talking to me?
As they do.
That's how I felt. I felt judged. Maybe she was just like, I don't like being talked to.
Don't come near me.
Trying to ask me So like maybe she was afraid of me, but I'm terrified of teenagers.
Yeah.
I'm just like, they know what I'm insecure about. I don't know how they know, but they know.
So question on audience just in general. I guess for a lot of us, we just like assume TikTok is kind of 30, maybe 35 and under. Does it work for genres where you've got traditionally an older audience, say, for example, historical romance, or, you know, is it more contemporary kind
of? It is definitely more difficult when you're doing a genre that has a traditionally older fan base, older reader base, 50 and up. But I have seen people who will go and they will get like a really solid 50 plus reader base because it's kind of getting to the point where everyone's on TikTok at this point. I think latest data was like 170 million Americans, which is over half of our population is on TikTok right now.
That's awesome. So I feel like we're coming towards the end of our hour together. So I just have one more question. If there's just one piece of advice that you could leave our listeners with, something that you think is really important for them to remember, like what would it be? What would they?
It's going to be what I tell everybody in all of my lessons forever. And it's write a damn good hook. Mm-hmm. Write a really good hook. Narrow those hooks down so that they are getting people to see your stuff, so that they are getting people to buy your books. So the first bit is going to be the hardest because that's when you're testing hooks. That's when you're testing to find out what works. And then just be consistent with posting those so that you can analyze, so that you can get a really solid bit of data going. Because once you do that, once you know what's selling, you can just basically put it all on automatic and ignore everything and never have to deal with it again. So get some really damn good hooks, and you can use them everywhere, not just TikTok. You can use them on Instagram. You can use them on Facebook ads. You can shorten them and use them for your Amazon ads. Get some damn good hooks. You can use them anywhere forever and ever. I talk about TikTok a lot, but this is not just about TikTok.
That's very true. It's always about the emotion that you're invoking, which is exactly what you're talking about. That's brilliant. And so if someone's wanting to go get your courses or look into you a bit more, where's the best place to go?
So you will have an attribution link because I want y'all to get paid a bit for talking to me and talking about my course and stuff. I have two courses. I have TikTok for Authors and I have Book Marketing Pro TikTok for Authors. This is going to shock you, but it is a TikTok for Authors course. I know, shocking. And then Book Marketing Pro is about creating those really good marketing hooks, and it is very formulaic. So there's a big chunk of TikTok for Authors that goes over hooks, but if you had to choose one of these and would say that you would get the best value out of it, I would say that taking the advice word for word on Book Marketing Pro is going to make you the most money. But I have had people that say that there's one segment on TikTok for Authors that's worth the price because it saves them hours and hours a week. So it depends on how much focus you want to put on TikTok versus if you want to do get really, really into those hooks and write very formulaic salesy hooks that work really well.
Okay, I'm off to buy the Book Marketing Pro now. Excuse me.
So we'll make sure those links are in the show notes as well.
And you'll have a discount in there as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Kate.
And Shah, where can we be found?
We can be found at spargirlspodcast.com, where you'll find the show notes for this. We're also on YouTube. If you're not watching this, you need to come on over and watch, and you can look at Kate's fabulous books that she's holding up and see all of our gorgeous faces. And we're
I've
on
been
Patreon.
Scratching my face a lot because I'm very itchy because I was outside.
Oh,
<It's> okay. You're welcome. Somebody's going to be weirdly into that. I just know it.
Possibly not our target audience, but we'll go with that.
I don't know.
And let us know, how much this this information has impacted you. Get riding on those good hooks.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kate, for an episode of the Spar Girls podcast. We really appreciate you being here with us. And thank you to all of our listeners for joining us for another episode. We'll be back again next week with another episode of the Spar Girls podcast. But for now, farewell.
Bye.
See ya.
Thank you.